Today's Shir's Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the bottom line of the Amud Amar Rava. At the end of our previous Shir, we discussed the machlok between Ramei and Chachamim if we could redeem Perish Shvius on animals, Behem Chai V'Oif, because the Mishnah indicated there was a concern, the Gemara indicated that according to Ramei, there was a concern that we may end up raising animals. The Chachamim were concerned that we may end up raising herds of animals that haven't then Kedusha Shvius. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Machlokes, this Machlokes are made, the Chachamim has only been Zecharim, by males that don't have the children themselves. That's where Ramei says Rava was lenient and said that we could redeem or sell Perish Shvius for them. But when we're talking about females, Ramei Alban the Kavis, even Ramei will agree, Divar Kol, Ashchut Mischalim, we could only redeem Perish Shvius on animals that were already slaughtered, Achaim E Mischalim, but not on live animals. For we are concerned, Gzeira Shem Yigdam and Madarim, we need to be concerned that even Ramei will be concerned that we may end up having herds of animals that are coming out of these animals. And that's why we have to be much stricter there. In our previous year, we also learned the machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, how one could redeem Perish Shvius, if he could do it b'derech mekach, through a sale, or even through a redemption process. Says the Gemara, Amar Ashi Machloikis. The Machloikis that we had of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, what methods can be used to redeem Perish Shvius, is a pre-rishon. But the fruit itself is a Shemitah fruit. Avol, b'pri-sheni, which we discussed in our previous year extensively, if you use it and then you redeem it, that everybody, that the second fruit has the Kedusha Shvius, because as we discussed in our previous year, the Kedusha keeps on transferring. Divrei Hakol, both Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan will agree that that fruit could be redeemed, bein derech mekach, bein derech chil, whether through a sale or through a redemption. And points out Rav Ashi, Vadik Tani, Lokach, that the Braisa that we quoted in yesterday's Shir, that supported the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, and the Braisa keeps on saying, Lokach, Lokach, that he kept on buying, clearly indicating that the only acceptable manner in which you could redeem is through a Lekicha, is through buying, not through redemption. But now we're saying that even Rabbi Lazar will agree that after the first time, you could use a redemption process. How will we understand that braisa? Answers the Gemara. Ida tanereisha lakach, since the first time, as we just said, the original Perish Shvius, that braisa, which is similar to Rabbi Lazar's opinion, is that the only acceptable method is through lekicha. That's why tananami sefer lakach. That's why the braisa kept on using that method. But it's not that the braisa in those cases insist that that's the only acceptable method. Eisvei asked the Gemara, Eisvei being the Rav Ashi, the Braisa says, Mishesh leisol shishvius. Somebody who sold Perish Shvius and got in return for them a coin. Ubikesh likach b'chaluk. And he wants to go buy a garment. Now the halach is, when we speak about Perish Shvius, the Torah says, la'achla, that what way may we use Perish Shvius or their what we sell them for, la'achla. And they can't be used for something, as we kept on mentioning in our previous year, that will be here past the Zman Bir. So what does he have a way of dealing with this issue? So says the Braisa, he should go to a storekeeper with whom he has a relationship. First he should tell the storekeeper that he give him this coin that has on a Kedusha Shvius, and tell him, give me fruit of that value, v'noisen loy, and he gives it to him. Then he goes back to the storekeeper and says, you know what? these fruit that I just bought that having them Kedusha Shvius, I'm giving to you as a gift. And he, of course, will have to treat them with the Kedusha Shvius. For who, I'm Eloi, Halacha Selazu. Then the storekeeper says, I'm giving you back this coin, B'matan, as a gift. Since he's giving it to him as a gift, Halacha, since it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, he could buy with that coin whatever he wants. Ask the Gemara. We're talking about here the fruit. The fruit is not the original fruit that has the Kedusha Shvius. And Ketani, and yet the Braisa, in addressing this, came up with a method, Derech Mekachin, that it's done through a sale. Derech Hilaloi. So here we see that even something which doesn't have in it the Kedusha Shvius, still, Rabbi Lazar will hold that only through selling is it an acceptable approach, no other acceptable approach. Ela Ravashi, Machlokes Prisheni. The Machlokes is by Prisheni. That's where Rabbi Lazar is going to hold that only Mekach is acceptable, and Rabbi Yochanan will hold that Chilul redemption is acceptable as well. Ava B'Prishen, something that has in it the original Kedusha Shvius, Derech Divyakel, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that the only way of redeeming it is Derech Mekachin, through selling, Derech Chiluloi, through redemption, that. I asked the Gemara, we also learned another Bryson yesterday's shir. And that Bryson, we said, Echad Shvius V'Achad Ma'aseh Sheni, we said, Mischalalin. We always see that Bryson seems to indicate that redemption is always an acceptable approach. But now we're learning that Rabbi Yochanan will agree that redemption is limited to a situation where it's not the original Kedusha. Answers the Gemara, what was meant in that Braisa wasn't the actual original Shemitah, because the original Shemitah, that would not be an acceptable approach. My Shvius, what was meant in that Braisa, the May Shvius, only what was received from the Shvius. And the Gemara, the second Kedusha. But the original Perish Shvius, that's not what that Bryce is speaking about, because that cannot be redeemed, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara proves that that's the way to understand that Bryce. Diloy Tei Mahachi, for will we not understand the Bryce that way? Meiser, when we speak about the Bryce, was not just speaking about Shemitah. The Bryce was also speaking about Meiser Sheni produce. V'ksiv, and the Torah says regarding redeeming Meiser Sheni, V'tzarta kesef biyotcha, that we only could use coins that are minted for Meiser. So how could we have suggested that we could redeem the Meiser Sheni any other way? Ella, what must the Braisa be speaking about? The May Meiser. And the limitation that we could only be paid up Meiser with minted money is only on the original Meiser produce. So it must be, we're not talking about the original Meiser produce. Hachinami, we're obviously not talking about the original Meiser Shvius produce. That, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree, could only be redeemed through a sale. And we're talking about the May Shvius. Says the Mishnah, B'tchila, Ha'ilulav Nitl, Beis HaMikdash Kol Shiva. The Beit Nulav was taken in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days of Sukkot. So as the Pasuk says, V'lakachtel chem b'yom Rishon priya etzod kapis tamarim v'anaf etz oves v'avi nachal v'smachtel fnei Hashem l'keichem shivas yomim. And the Medina, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, yom echad, it was only 1 day. And there's a very big machloikus Rishonim, what does Mikdash mean and what does Medina mean? Rashi's opinion is Medina means anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash is considered the Medina. Whereas the Rambam seems to learn that Mikdash includes all of Yerushalayim. And from this we learn that, so ask the Sfasemis, if the Chiyuv of Luv in the Mikdash is 7 days, and outside the Mikdash is only 1 day, why shouldn't every Jew be obligated to go to the Beis HaMikdash every one of the days of Sukkot to take the lulav? So he says that since the Pasuk describes these chiyuvim, the Pasuk describes them as two separate chiyuvim, one of a chiyuv in the Mikdash and one as a chiyuv of the Medina. The Torah, says the Sfasemis, is telling us there are two separate obligations, and depending where you are, that's what your chiv will be. And as we said, Rashi says the Migdash is the Beis HaMikdash. There's a machlokes how to understand what Rashi means. The Tori Evans says that it means only the Ezras Yisrael. The Ezras Noshim is already not included in the Migdash. The Chasam Sofer says that the entire Har Abayis is included in the Migdash. Says the Bikur Yaakov, that even Bezman Azeh, that Chiyiv still remains. And there's a Chiyiv, if somebody comes to Yerushalayim, the Chiyiv in Yerushalayim to take the, according to the Rambam, to take the Dalaminim every one of days of the 7 days of Yontif. And that's why the Paiskim discuss, if somebody was outside of Yerushalayim, and now he enters Yerushalayim, does he have to take the Dalaminim again? Because as we're going to learn in our Mishnah, outside Yerushalayim, the Chiyiv is only Chiyiv Derabbanan. In Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim according to Rambam, it's a Daraisa. And there are those that suggest that certainly if you come to Yerushalayim, and certainly if you come to the Kaisel, which even more so may be a place where there's a Chiyiv to take the Dalaminim every day, you should take them again, you should do the mitzvah again, even though you've done it previously, chutz in wherever you live outside of Yerushalayim. The Tzitz Eliezer, however, disagrees and say that once you were mekayim the mitzvah, even though you were only mekayim the mitzvah midrabanan, and now, at least according to the Rambam, and maybe depending where you are, even according to other Rishonim, you have an opportunity to do the mitzvah midaraisa, it doesn't make a difference. Once we did the mitzvah, even though we only did it midrabanan, the aloch is that we don't have to do it again. Particularly, even if we follow the opinion of the Rambam, it could be that the Rambam's opinion, not everywhere that we consider Yerushalayim is considered Yerushalayim, even according to the Rambam, that there's a chiv to take every day to Dalaminim. It would seem that if you're coming to the Kaisel, then we would have more of an obligation, more of a question, that even though you did the mitzvah Dalaminim elsewhere, you should do it again. So Ella says the Gemara, however, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskar Rabbi Yochanan Bezakkai, Rabbi Yochanan Bezakkai instituted Sheilulav Nitl B'Medina Shiva, that all 7 days of Sukkot we should take the Lulav, Zeichel HaMikdash, a Zeichel to what we did in the Beis HaMikdash. That means, and as the Miri says, it's really not 7 days, because there's always a Shabbos during Sukkot. However, I did see that Rishonim say that if the first day was Shabbos, and in the Beis HaMikdash, as we're going to see, they took on the first day, then maybe then they would have to take the entire first day also. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made another rule, and that is Sheyayim Enaf Kula Aser, that the entire day on which they brought the Omer, they should not be allowed to eat from the Chodosh. Because when the Beis HaMikdash stood, we were not allowed to eat from the Chodosh until they brought the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach. Now that the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, it becomes mutter on the morning of the second day of Pesach. But people are going to make the mistake and say, last year I ate in the morning. But last year there was no Beis HaMikdash standing. This year there's a Beis HaMikdash standing. And because this year there's a Beis HaMikdash standing, in order to not make that mistake, because this year where there's Baruch Hashem Beis HaMikdash standing, we have to wait until the Korban is brought. So they instituted that everybody should wait every year for that entire day to pass. The Sfas Emes asks, why is there no Isser about Toysef? If the halacha and the raisa is that we only take the lulav, the dalminim, on the first day of Sukkot outside of the Beis HaMikdash, why is there no issue about Toysef if we take it for the 6 extra days? So he says that Zeichel HaMikdash, if we're learning in our Mishnah, we're going to learn in the Gemara moment, that it was done with Zeichel HaMikdash. If you do something Zeichel HaMikdash, there's no issue about Taisif. Moreover, he says, since in the Beis HaMikdash there is a Chiyiv, the only time there's an Issa about Taisif, he wants to suggest, is what we're doing has no halachic basis. But if what we're doing has halachic basis in certain situations, then it's not considered about Taisif. The Brisk Rav says that I'm not intending to do the mitzvah that the Torah says that I should only do 1 day, and I'm intending to do it for 7 days, and therefore it's considered about Taisif. Rather, explains the Brisk Rav, that there are two separate halachas. One is halacha that in the Beis Hamikdash you take the Dal Minim all 7 days. Then there's halacha outside the Beis Hamikdash, you take it only 1 day. And that is a new halacha with no connection to any of the others, that the additional 6 days we take the Dal Minim. The additional 6 days we take the Dal Minim everywhere, both in the Beis Hamikdash and outside the Beis Hamikdash. So it's not an extension; it's a new halacha altogether. So we're learning here about the halacha of the Omer, and that the Omer is taken for all not to be eaten the entire day of the second day of Pesach, even though technically you're allowed to eat it in the morning. And it's interesting to point out that the Poskim say that in Eretz Yisrael you have to wait until Alois Shachar, which is the time when you're allowed to eat the Omer. But they point out those that live in Chutz Laretz and are makbid only to eat Yoshan, this man is dependent on Yerushalayim. So let's say the Alois in Yerushalayim is 6 a.m., and we're 7 hours before, we wouldn't have to wait for 7 a.m. to 6 a.m. of the second day of Pesach. 7 hours to us, who are we 7 hours behind, at that point, even though it's not yet the morning of the second day, we in Chutz Laretz would already be allowed to eat the Chadosh because it's already Alois HaShachar in Yerushalayim. There's a very famous vort on this Mishnah from the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes said, what is the connection between these two roles that are mentioned in our Mishnah? We could understand where our Mishnah is mentioning the halacha of the Dal Minim. We're learning Masechta Sukkah. But the Imre Emes asked, why we're not learning halacha about Yoshan here, that the Mishnah should be speaking about what is the halacha of Yoshan the second day of Pesach. How does that come into our Masechta? So the Imre Emes explained. He said, when Klal Yisrael heard that Rabbi Yochanan made this rule that we should take the Dal Minim for all 7 days of Sukkot, Zeichel HaMikdash, they got very depressed. They saw that this meant that we're going to be in Golus for quite a while, and we have to do things that are Zeichel HaMikdash. And it bothered them, obviously, enormously. So what did Rabbi Yochanan do? Rabbi Yochanan said that we have to be concerned that if this year we're going to eat the Omer by Alois HaShachar, next year we'll do the same, but next year we're already Mitzvah have a Beis HaMikdash. And since we already have a Beis HaMikdash, we shouldn't be doing so. So says the Imre Emes, that gave them hope that by, not like Zeichel HaMikdash by the Dal Minim, that who knows when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. But it gave them hope that Rabbi Yochanan made a rule assuming that next year we will already have rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Mishnah mentions these two rules together. Ask the Gemara, Minolon Davdin and Zeichel HaMikdash. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know that we make a Zeichel HaMikdash? Because, as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara's question is that it's not to try to understand the basis of the rule. The basis, trying to understand is, where do we see that there's a chiv to make a Zeichel HaMikdash? Because as I saw, the Sfasemis explains, and we just spoke about it a moment ago, under normal circumstances, we ought to be concerned that we have here a situation about Tosif. Obviously, the point of Zeichel HaMikdash is so strong that it overrides the concern about Tosif. Where do we find that? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Yochanan da Mekra, Ke'ala Aruchalach, Oma Makasayach Apeach, Num Hashem, Kinitchu Karolacha, Tzien Hu Doyush Einloi. The Pasuk is saying that there's nobody paying attention to the Beis HaMikdash. What is the Pasuk teaching us? Doyush Einloi, there was nobody paying attention. However, Mechlal Deboi Drisha, that what it requires is that somebody pay attention to Klal Yisrael. And I saw the Mefarshim say that we're looking for refuah. Klal Yisrael will look for refuah. And here we're saying that there's a point of how to get a refuah. The way to get refuah is by remembering Yerushalayim. So I saw the Pasuk says, Ke'ela Ruchalach. And the Mefarshim explained that Ela is the Rashi Tevis of Esrig Lulav Arava Hadas. And that's why it makes most sense to say that in the area of Dalaminim is the place to do something which is, it's the place to do something which is Zeichel Mikdash. We learned Vishay Naf Kulay Asa that the second day of Pesach one may not eat Chodesh. My Tam, why is that the rule? Says the Gemara, as we explained. Meheri Bana Beis Mikdash. Rabbi Yochanan was hoping that the Beis Mikdash will be rebuilt. The Yomer and the people are going to make a mistake and they're going to say, Ishtaked Miloy Chalnu Beher HaMizrach. Last year, since the Beis Mikdash wasn't standing, we ate by the nets. Hashtanami Nechel, this year also, we're allowed to eat the Chodesh already at the nets. Vinu Loyadi, and they won't recognize, the Ishtaked the Lava Beis Mikdash. Last year, when we didn't have a Beis Mikdash, Beher HaMizrach, as soon as the Nates Achama came, indeed Hitter, at that point you're allowed to eat the Chodosh. Hashta, this year, Dika Beis HaMikdash, where Baruch Shem, we have a Beis HaMikdash, Oymer Matiroi, we have to wait for the Korban Oymer, and we can't just eat right away, in the morning. So we see that from this Gemara, that a person, when he takes the Dal Aminim, says the Micha Shloimeh, during the 7 days of Sukkot, every time he takes the Dal Aminim, he should have in mind that I'm doing it Zeichel HaMikdash. But ask the Gemara, the Ivnei Emes, exactly when will the Beis HaMikdash be built? If it's going to be built on the 16th day of Nisan, if it wasn't standing as the day began, then you can't, so as soon as the nets came, you're allowed to eat the Chodosh. Ella, Divnei B'Chameser. It got built on the 15th day of Nisan. So if that's the case, Mechatzos Hayom Lahalim Nishtui. Because as we're going to learn, they certainly, by Chatzos, they already brought the carbon. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Menachos Daf Samech Chesam and Aleph teaches us, Harachoikim, people who did not know what was going on in Yerushalayim, they didn't live in a world of telephones, Mutar Mechatzos Hayom, from Chatzos of the second day of Pesach, they could be certain that they could eat the Chodosh, because by then the carbon could have been brought. So why is the halacha that you have to wait till the day is over, eat by Chatzos? Answers the Gemara, Letzricha de'ivni b'leila. The baby, the Beis HaMikdash, will only be built on the night, inami samach l'shkiyah sechama, or close to the shkiyah, and in these cases, they won't have time to prepare the carbon, and they'll bring it later. And that means, on a normal year, they're going to bring it in the right time. In this case, they're going to bring it later because the Beis HaMikdash was just built. So the question that Rashi asks, that the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara Masechta the Shavuos says, Ubiyoin Hokim as a Mishkan, that the Beis HaMikdash could only be built by day. So how could the Gemara give a teretz that it was built at night? So Rashi answers that the Beis HaMikdash anticipating for the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi is going to be come down from a Kodesh, from Shemayim already made. And since it's going to come down from Shemayim already made, there's no prohibition of doing that on Yontif. And here we see that Mitzvah Shem, the question is, I saw that Rav Wolfson Shlita asks, so don't we have a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash? So he says that all the shuls and all the Bate Medrash and all the Bate Knesses that we build around the world is the way that we're contributing to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And when all the shuls that need to be built will the Mitzvah Shem be built, at that point, that's when the final step of the Beis HaMikdash Min HaShemayim will come down. But everything that we did in preparing shuls and yeshivas are all steps towards the building of Beis HaMikdash. But then I saw, it says, Vareinu b'minyanoi, we daven on the Yom Neroi, on the Shal Shulgar, Vareinu b'minyanoi v'samcheinu b'sukunoi. What does that mean? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained, Vareinu b'minyanoi, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show us the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. Because we're not going to build it as we're learning now. It's going to be built min HaShemayim. However, we also ask, v'samcheinu b'sukunoi, the doors are underground, and it's going to be our job to pick up those doors. That we could do on Yom Tov. Says Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan Zakkai Shitas Rav Yehuda Amar, he has a whole different explanation. That Rav Yochanan Zakkai actually agrees with Rav Yehuda, Dabar min HaTorah Asur, the Isser to eat the Chodosh when we don't have a carbon is only till the night. The Ksiv,
He learns, the pasuk says that we're not allowed to eat the chodesh ad yotzim hayom hazeh, and he learns ad atzumah shel yoyim. Uksava ad v'ad b'chlal, until the second day is over. And therefore, if we have a carbon, we're allowed to eat it as soon as the carbon is brought. When we don't have a carbon, we wait for the day to end. So, says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, me Sava Klava say, can we say Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai held the Rabbi Yehuda? V'amiflik Palagalei, I'll show you that he argued. The Tanam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Shishkin Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, Shiyei Yoyim Hanaf Kul Asr. So only at that point it became Asr. Am Rabbi Yehuda, V'lemin Atayru Asr, the Ksiv Ad Etzem Yoyim is Ad Etzum Shal Yoyim. So we see Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Answered the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda the Katoi, he misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's opinion. Who saw him with the Rabbanon Kamar? He thought that everything Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was saying was only with the Rabbanon. But really, it's not that way. Loyi, with the Raisa Kamar, he held with the Raisa, you can't eat until the end of the second day unless there's a carbon board. Ask the Rabbi, well, let's look at the wording of the Mishnah. Doesn't the Mishnah say, Hiskin Kamar? He used the word Hiskin. My Hiskin? Hiskin doesn't mean that he made a Gzeir the Rabbanon, but rather Darsh the Hiskin. He told us this the way to understand the Pasuk, that if you don't have a carbon, you have to wait for the second day to pass. Says the Mishnah, Yantav Harishin Shal Chag, Shechalis B'Shabbos, the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to carry the Lulav, you're not allowed to carry anything which is Rabbim. Says the Mishnah, Kol Ha'am Malichim Slulavein LeBeis HaKnesses. Everybody would bring their lulav to the Beis HaKnesses before Shabbos. Because even though you're allowed to take the lulav on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry it on Shabbos. Or on Shabbos morning, the first day of Yontif, Meshkim and Boim, everybody would come to Shul, V'kolech V'kayach Makash Shloi, everybody would recognize their Dalaminim, the Nightloi, and do the Mitzvah. Because you have to make sure that you use yours, because Allah is ain adam yotzi dei chavosay beyond the risa belulav shel chaveroi. You can't use somebody else's lulav. B'shabi mechag adam yotzi dei chavosay belulav shel chaveroi. There's no obligation for lechem. Rabbi Yosi teaches us another halacha. Yom tov rishon shechag shel yis b'shabbos. If the first day fell on Shabbos, and then the person anxiety to do the mitzvah, v'shachach v'yotzi lulav shel rabim, he made a mistake and he carried his lulav in the shel rabim. Even though, as we just learned, you really may not do so, Potter, you're not going to be chayav a karban chatas for chil Shabbos, neshayit tzibrishus. And the concept here is the concept of a torah v'dvar mitzvah. Because he's involved in a mitzvah, even though he didn't do it properly, he shouldn't have carried it. The halach is torah v'dvar mitzvah, v'asa mitzvah, Rabbi Yossi says, you're Potter. So Gemara says that on the first day yontif, you could only use your own lulav, not someone else's. Ask the Ramadan immediately, from where do we know this halacha? The Torah Abana, the Torah says, V'lekach them, tei l'kicha b'yad kol echad v'echad. Everybody has the obligation to take their own dalaminim on the first day yontif. L'chem, mishlechem, l'hoitzi, as a shawl, as a gozel. You can't take something which you don't own, if you borrowed or you stole. So first you ask, if you can't take something that you borrowed, you certainly can't take something you stole. So they go back to the beginning of the Perek, where we learn that if you steal something, there are certain kinyonim that make it yours. And therefore, maybe by stealing, it's less of a concern than by just borrowing it. Unless it was given to him with a gift. So Taisus asks that in the time of the Rishonim, it wasn't like nowadays. And most people did not have their own dalaminim. And the question Tosfos asks is, so how are we yotze with an esrog that the entire shul owns together? It's not lechem. So Tosfos wants to say that since when they bought the esrog, they bought it in that fashion that we're all contributing, what their intention was that everybody is going to use it, and when they take it, it'll be theirs alone, and then they'll share it. Then, however, Rashba says, if it was bought with that intention, it means that everybody has his own ownership for the moment that he has it, and that's why even though it's a partnership, it's fine. Says the Gemara, Meisberg, Gemali, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Lozman, Azar, Rabbi Kiva, Shebaim, Besfina, they were traveling in a boat, V'lai Lulav, Eller, Rabbi Gemali, Bavad, and only Rabbi Gemali had a Lulav. Lachai, Shalachai, Be'elv Zuz, that he paid a tremendous amount of money for it, 1,000 Zuz. Not Rabbi Gamliel did the mitzvah. Nasan Rishua Matana. He then gave it to Rishua as a Matana, and so became Rabbi Yeshua's. And Rabbi Yeshua not Levi Yotzeh, but took it and was Yotzeh the Mitzvah. Nasan Rishua Matana. Not the Rebbe Lozman Azariah Matana, and not the Rebbe Zariah Bazariah Yotzeba, not the Matana Rekiva, not the Rekiva Yotzeba, Exil Rebbe Gamaliel, and then they returned to Gamaliel. So ask the Gemara, the point here is that we're trying to learn that everybody used the Luluf and received it as a Matana. And since they received it as a Matana, it's Yotze the Mitzvah. So what's the difference if they return it to Rebbe Gamaliel or not? Lamili Lamei Mechzira. What does the Mishnah have? What does the Gemara have to tell us that they returned it to Rebbe Gamaliel? What does that have to do with what we are learning in today's shir? Says the Gemara. Milsa Agavrocha Kamashlon. Matana Manas Lach Shema Matana. Even though you're getting it with the intention that you have to give it back, while you have it, it's yours, and therefore you create the mitzvah. V'kiyada Marava. And as Rava taught us, if I don't have an esrig and you do have an esrig, you give it to me and say, "Halach esrizah menashe tchazrili." This is the esrig, but you have to give it back. Halach is yotza. If I give it back, I was yotza. But loyach zira. But if I didn't give it back, so it turns out, says Rashi, that it was never mine, and since it was never really considered mine, it's not considered my esrig to be yotza. Ask them, but now. Tosfos makes the point, if I have to give it back, why is it considered mine? So the Rishonim point out that it's enough to be considered mine if that the threshold of what is considered mine is a lower threshold. And as long as I have some ownership while I have it, that is enough to make it be considered, that is me to make it be considered mine. Asking why do we have to know that he spent so much? Teaches us the Gemara, how much they loved the mitzvahs. So the Rishonim ask, what does it mean to show how much they loved the mitzvahs? He spent the money. So the Aruch Lener answers that what happened was that everybody wanted to buy the Dalaminim. And they all wanted to participate. And it became a bidding war. And Rebbe Gamaliel was the one that paid the 1,000 zuz, and he got it. But it was really all of them to show how much they all loved the mitzvah. He used to daven holding the lulav. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braise, somebody shouldn't hold on to tefillin or say the Torah of Yispalo, because we're worried that he's going to be so concerned with holding these items that he's going to forget. And not daven with the proper kavana. The loyishta b'mayim, he shouldn't urinate. Again, maybe he's going, some drops of the urine are going to fall. Loyishta b'hem, because he shouldn't, furthermore, he shouldn't sleep while he's holding them. Loyishinus kavav, loyishinus arai. Loyishmul sakin, he shouldn't hold a knife, because if he's holding a knife, he won't concentrate properly. Kara, he shouldn't hold a plate full of liquid. Kikar, a bread, he should be concerned that's going to fall. All these mas, money, harel kiyotzben, you shouldn't hold them when you're davening. So how are you allowed to hold a lulav when you're davening? Answers the Gemara, hasam la mitzvah. There's no mitzvah in holding them. And they cause tirda. And since they cause tirda, it's inappropriate to do so. Hacha, there's a mitzvah to hold the dalminim. Hacha mitzvah nenu v'loy tarbehu. Tanya Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok, goyim kachay minhagim shalan shishlayim. This was their minig. Adam yotze mebeisiv lulav b'yadoy. A person, everything they did on Sukkot, they did with the mitzvah. He left his home, he held his lulav. Ha'yelcho beis ha'knesset, he goes to shul, lulav b'yodoy. Ha'yikar krishma, he says krishma, spal of a lulav b'yodoy. Kar b'tayra, when he's learning, he holds the lulav. Noise says kapav, the kahanim, when they had a duduchning, menichai al, says the Gemara, kar b'tayra, however, when he lays the Torah, and you have to hold the atzichayim, or noises cup of his duchning, menicha al gabakaki, should put it on the floor. Hoyl vaka cholim, when they used to go in vaka cholim, lunacham availim, lulava biyodai. Nichnas beis amirish, meshagal lulava biyad, benoi biyad, avda biyad, shluchai, when he's immersed in learning, so therefore once he's immersed in learning, he can't be busy holding his lulav. My kamashmalon, what are we learning from the story? Lediachakama's reason in mitzvahs, how involved they were in mitzvahs, that they loved the mitzvah of Dalaminim, that they held it the entire time. And that's why, that, in fact, says the tar is the appropriate way to hold the lulav. And the Ritzke says, we see from here that even on the way to shul, they were already holding the lulav to be able to do the mitzvah in the best way properly. So here we see that there's a mitzvah the entire day to hold the lulav. Just when you get an aliyah, because from here we see the halacha is that when you get an aliyah, you're supposed to open up the sefer, you're supposed to hold the atzichayim. Moreover, we see here that there's a point of nichum aveilim on Sukkos. But we know that people don't sit shiva on Sukkos. So what does it mean when it says here that they went to be Menachem Avil on Sukkos? So I saw that the Or Samech explains, even though people, Rachman al-Slan, don't sit shiva on Sukkos, but even if somebody lost a close relative, the halacha is that one should go visit him. He's not sitting shiva. The right thing to do is to go visit that relative on Sukkos, to visit that person on Sukkos. So here we see how important Kama Mitzvahs Chavivus Aleihem. So I saw that the Paiskim discuss a question, and of course this is a very difficult question. There's a woman in labor, and she knows she's Baruch Hashem having a boy, and she knows that boy is Mitzvah Hashem, if everything will be fine, will be born, it will be a Bechor. But this woman, the doctors are telling her that she should have a cesarean section. And of course, if it's a Shaios HaKonos Nefashos, one should do whatever the doctor says. But if it's not such a serious situation, and the doctor would prefer to do a cesarean, but of course, a baby that's born with cesarean will not have a pinyon of ben. And she says, I want to be able to have the opportunity, we should have the opportunity to do a pinyon of ben. So there's a Noida Behuda. The Noida Behuda says, if somebody does something which is a sakana, just because that's enjoyment to him, he goes hunting. So the Noida Behuda says, that shouldn't be done. We have no right to put ourselves in sakana. But in a situation where we're doing it to fulfill a mitzvah, and we're learning now in our Gemara that there's a point in doing a mitzvah, so therefore, says the Noida Behuda, say the Paiskim, if it's not a serious situation, there may be a right to push off doing the cesarean, that she should be able to have a bechor that will have a pinyon aben. Agamar teaches us that they held the lulav the entire time on Sukkos. So I saw the Mefarshim speak out, what is the halacha about holding a shofar? Could the Baal Tekoyah hold the shofar during his davening on Rosh Hashanah? And the Paiskim say you can't compare the two situations. Holding a lulav, every minute that you hold the lulav, you mekayim a mitzvah. Here, you're not mekayim a mitzvah for holding the shofar. You have to blow the shofar when the Torah tells us to blow the shofar, when the halacha tells us to blow the shofar. And therefore, since our Gemara says holding something when you're davening could cause a lack of concentration, there is no right to hold it under those circumstances. We're learning also here specifically when it comes to the mitzvah of dal minim, kamah yizrizim a mitzvah, how much they love doing a mitzvah. So the question that the Paiskim ask is if a person has a choice, he has a luluf, he has dal minim, he has an esrig, which is a kosher esrig, but it's not a perfect esrig. And he could wait and get a nicer esrig. What should he do? Should he take the esrig that he has available to him? Should he wait for the nicer esrig? And this is a question that comes up many times. Because the question comes up, the Shulchan Aruch says that the proper time, the best time to do Kiddush Levana is Matzoy Shabbos. So what happens if you could do Kiddush Levana earlier? Or should you wait for Matzoy Shabbos? Some hold that you should wait for Matzoy Shabbos to do the mitzvah in the best way. Or others say, no, as soon as you have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, then you should do the mitzvah. Seemingly, that would be the same shaila here. But here we're learning that when it comes to the mitzvah of dal minim, they were particularly concerned that they should do it at the right time. And since they were concerned that it should be done at the right time, that it should be done in the best way possible, it could be, and since we see that by esrig, the Torah goes out of the way to say, creates other. As we've learned so many times in our mitzvah, that when it comes to the mitzvah of dal minim, ze keli van veyu is a critical
element of the mitzvah. That's why here it could very well be that everybody would agree if you're going to wait, you'll get a nicer esrog, you ought to wait.